Thank you for this very important question, which I should have loved you to ask. In fact, I was waiting for it. The fact is that if you come here and you listen to me answering various questions on Islam, I'm almost positive that you'll agree with everything. Yet the mullah, the orthodox clergy, would tell you that we are not Muslims and we have gone so far astray and so far outside Islam that we can no longer be tolerated by the rest of the Muslims. The reason they forward is this, that we have defied a verse of the Holy Quran which is fundamental. And they say this verse, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِرْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ is a fundamental verse, and if you deny in fundamentals, then you deny the whole. Now, there is a fallacy in this. First, the question should be analyzed and understood properly. According to Ahmadis, each verse of the Holy Quran is fundamental. There is no question of saying that if you deny that verse, then you will become kafir, and if you deny the other one, then you will not become kafir. We don't accept this position. According to us, the Holy Quran is like prophets. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. Why is it said? While in station and status, the prophets differ. Yet it is said, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. Because they are all from Allah. So if someone comes from Allah, whether he is lowly or highly placed, that doesn't make any difference. He must not be rejected, because he has come from one who is the loftiest. Similarly, the words of Allah should be treated like words of Allah. You can't make a distinction between verses that this is a fundamental verse and this is a junior verse. You can deny this and do not deny that. So it's only a platform which they want to create to deceive the common Muslims. As if that is a fundamental and we have denied a fundamental, we have not. On the contrary, it is only the founder of the Ahmadiyya community who for the first time in the world of Islam claimed that there is no verse of the Holy Quran which cancels out another verse, and no nasikh and no mansukh. While previously the ulama, the same who call us kafirs, they used to claim, and they still believe, if you ask some of them, they believe, some say that 500 verses of the Holy Quran have cancelled out 500 other verses. So 1000 verses go out of circulation. And that is not all. Some say these are the 500 verses which have cancelled those 500 verses. The others say, yes, 500 all right, but not these. These other 500 verses have cancelled out those other 500 verses. So it is a moving shadow, like a cloud moving on a landscape, which casts its shadow on everything, and nothing is left without a shadow. The same book which begins with the claim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, is turned into rab and nothing but rab by these mullahs. And when Hazrat Masih Maud al Islam, the founder of the Ahmadiyya community, raises his banner above in safeguarding the interest of the Holy Quran and sanctity of the Holy Quran, and declares that not a single word, not a single jot of the Holy Quran can ever be cancelled. How could he, that's an introduction. Imagine, how could he deny a verse which according to others is a fundamental verse? He does not. But I'll come. I understand what doubts you are entertaining in your mind and nourishing, because I know what the doubts are generally spread about us. the suspicions and doubts and some falsehoods, but I'll make you understand everything, inshallah. Now, when you ask them, how do they deny? How do they refuse to believe in this verse? They say, in essence, in meaning. They don't agree to the meanings inferred from that verse by the rest of the Muslims. So, through ijma, the whole ummah infers one thing, and these Ahmadis infer a very different thing, which is not acceptable to the ummah, and which is against the laws of Arabic and against the usage of the Arabs, and still they say that they are in the right. This is wrong. This is, how can they be accepted? And they say, look here, they say, Ahmadis, at one time, in one breath they say that this verse, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَاءً أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ, is valid and still holds good. And in the second breath they say that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, the founder of the Ahmadiyya community, is a subordinate prophet of Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they say this is a paradox. In one breath you say something and in the other breath you cancel it out. You believe in this verse as well as you don't believe. This is the position which they attribute to us. And commonly people understand, okay, this is very sensible. If they believe in this verse, believing Hazur Akram to be Khatam al-Nabiyyin, and in the next breath they also claim that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad al-Qadian is a prophet of some sort, then they don't believe. This is the real objection. Now my answer to this is going to be a very large answer, which I can partly give today, because already we are getting late for the prayer. And if you could come tomorrow, please, or the day after, whenever you come again, I'll pick up the thread from where I have left and then start on the rest of the topic. Right?
Yes.
Now, first of all, I should like to make clear what we do believe. What we believe is this, that the person which Ahadrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has himself told us would come to reform Islam and to bring about final victory of Islam, that person is named in certain places as Messiah and in other places as Imam al-Mahdi. There is no debate on this. I mean, everybody agrees. Now, what we say is this, that first of all, you yourself define the status of Imam Mahdi and the status of Messiah in the Ummah in the light of Ahadrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sayings, his own teachings. Once you determine that status, then it is for us to prove that exactly it is that status which you have given to Mirza Ghulam Ahmad al-Qadian, not a bit more and not a bit less. So there is no difference. Where is the difference? Unless you prove the difference, how can we begin to defend ourselves? First of all, the question should be proved to be valid. If it is not valid, why should I make such a noise and try to defend myself while the attack has not been made? So you can only understand the position of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad al-Qadian if you project yourself into future and conceive of a situation where the Imam Mahdi has appeared. Let's start from there. Now, the most important thing to be decided is how the Imam Mahdi would be made. Will it be an election, democratic election? Or will he be a military man who will capture power through force? Or will he be such a big rich man as to have wide influence and people will accept him as Mahdi? None of these possibilities can be accepted by any sane man. How then can Imam Mahdi come into being? This is the aspect which the Maulvis never tell you. Because once they begin to tell you, then this parallax between Ahmadiyyat and their views is removed. On the one hand, they claim that Wahi-e-Imamat, that is Allah revealing to someone that I have appointed you and I have commissioned you for a task, is finished forever. This is the claim. On the other hand, they believe that Imam Mahdi would definitely come. In the third place, they believe that whoever denies Imam Mahdi, whoever rejects him, refuses to believe in him, will be outside the pale of Islam. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir. The problem is how can we destroy and work there?
I'm coming. So, this is what I want to write. I want you to understand the phenomena so that when I give my arguments relating directly to Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, then you'll understand. If I begin to talk to you while a barrier is still between us, then you will not understand. So I'm trying to demolish that barrier, which is just imaginary. It does not exist. There is no barrier between us. That barrier is created by the mullah. The fact is that Imam Mahdi is going to be a subordinate prophet and nothing else. I tell you how. I'll come to that. You'll understand, inshallah. Number one, he will be appointed by God himself. By nobody else. Is that correct? He will be appointed directly by Allah. Allah will speak to him and tell him, I have made you the Imam. If he is not made by Allah, then we'll tear a hoot for him. Two things for such an Imam. But if he is made by Allah, then it is obligatory upon us to believe in him, not otherwise. And all the ulama agree to this. The second, if an Imam is made by Allah, nobody has a right to reject him. This is why Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known to have said, فَإِذَا وَجَدْتُمُوهُ إِذَا سَمَيْتُمْ What are the words, Malik Saifur Rahman sir? وَجَدْتُمُوهُ When you find a claimant to Imam Mahdi, and if you find him to be true, even if you have to cross glaciers on your knees, not on foot, you reach him and get initiated at his hands by Yahuhu. So this is the injunction of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously it is understood that if somebody is appointed by Allah, then it is no choice with you to believe in him or not to believe. You have to accept him. So tell me, what is a prophet other than this? Can you conceive of a single man in religious history who had these two attributes, who was appointed by Allah, and to believe in him was a must, and yet he was not a prophet?
What about the Sayyidina?
I'll come to that. First finish with this.
Yes.
I'm inviting you to scan the history of religion and come out with a single instance where a man had these two qualities. He was appointed by Allah, and to believe in him was made a must, incumbent upon everybody. Yet he was not a prophet.
Yeah. Okay, to answer this, I would have...
You reserve the right.
To answer for another question. Yeah. Is it mentioned in Quran that whatever called Muhammad, Mahdi or Messiah,
he'll come.
Will come.
Yes. It is mentioned.
And will be described as a prophet.
Not as a prophet. But it is mentioned.
Someone who brings
I'll speech. Come. No, what I mean to say is that once you have understood that these two attributes do not belong to any other person but a prophet. That is the main point. Why don't you come to think of this first? That if you already believe in a prophet, to call him a prophet is not wrong, it is truth. You believe in a person, in his qualities. When you believe in somebody, you have a concept. And if that concept is that of a prophet, if you deny that, then you are not a truthful person. For example, an insan is defined as Hewan and Nathir. So if you say so and so is Hewan and so is so is Nathir, but he is not man, man is finished. Will that be consistent with your views?
Yeah, but my main point is that I believe in Mahdi, our Messiah, who will bring in victory to Islam. But he will add nothing to the message of Islam.
No, nothing can be added.
He will bring it in victory.
Exactly.
He will bring it out.
This is our view too.
Yeah, this is the difference to me. This is the difference between a prophet and somebody who will bring...
No, that's not the difference. I'll come to this. I'll explain that. That view, which you have expressed, is exactly our view.
Yeah.
So we don't disagree. Only what to call that view is that is it's a difference in nomenclature, nothing else.
No, for example,
we believe that nobody can bring anything new to Islam.
Yeah.
Islam is perfect.
Yeah.
The last word of Allah. And the traditions of the Holy Prophet are complete in the sense that nobody can add or subtract to or from the traditions of the Holy Prophet. This is our belief.
It's complete an idea.
That's right, complete.
So
if anybody can come, he can only come as subordinate, not as independent. So if a subordinate comes within the four walls of the Holy Quran and the tradition and Sunnah, he is that subordinate who is perfectly a complete slave to the Holy Quran and to Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His coming is not objectionable from any point of view. The second thing is how he comes and what is his status. If he is appointed by Allah directly, he is not just one of scholars, one of many thousand scholars or many hundred thousand scholars. He is appointed by Allah himself. And if according to Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, this man is to be obeyed and at his hand you must get initiated, accept his bath.
But how can we know that he came from
Allah? That is different. That's another question.
Yeah.
But this fundamental difference is removed between us. What I wanted to say was that there is no difference in reality between our view of Khatam al-Nabiyyin and your view of Khatam al-Nabiyyin. Having the same view, you also believe in someone to come with these two attributes. We also believe in someone with these attributes. The difference is only in the personification. Whether this is the person or it is yet to come. It is not a fundamental difference.
Yeah, because see, this holy word establishes a great difference between you and others.
Which
word? Insisting on calling him who comes. Prophet.
I'll explain.
I'll explain that.
Why insist on not calling him a prophet?
Because I believe that Muhammad is the end of the prophets.
I'll come to that. Why say when you believe him to be a prophet in attributes, still insisting that he should not be called a prophet, is that not a paradox in your thinking?
No, because what I believe, there are other Muslim people like Sahaba,
yes,
Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, they are all...
Were they appointed directly by Allah?
The problem again, how can you know tell, that the exorcist is appointed by God?
We, I'm not coming to this.
Yeah.
When Imam Mahdi comes, if he comes, he would definitely be, according to your views, be appointed by Allah.
He will be
appointed. This is, yeah, that's right. I'm talking of him, not of Mirza Sahib.
Yes, right.
For the time being, I'm just talking of him as an impersonified thing. According to your belief, someone is yet to come who will be appointed by Allah. Am I right?
Yes, to do what? Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, you are right.
Okay. And according to your belief, if someone is appointed by Allah, no one has a right to deny him.
Yes, sure.
Right?
Right, yes.
These two things make a prophet. And if I am wrong, then show me one example from the history of the Holy Quran or tradition or any other religion where these two attributes got together in one single man and he was not a prophet.
I think there is a third missing aspect of it. That the message, what is he coming to do?
Oh, no, no, that is no problem. That is no problem.
The message of Muhammad.
That is no problem. This is no problem because this is again a mistake. That every prophet must come with a new message. It is totally wrong. Because the Holy Quran tells us that the prophet Moses was raised first as a prophet and at his request, his brother Harun was also made a prophet. And no new Sharia was revealed to brother Harun. It was the same Sharia which was revealed to Hazrat Moses. He went to the mount and he received those parchments or slabs on which the injunctions or commandments were written. And no new commandments were given to Harun, or do you believe that they were given to Harun?
No.
So, was he a prophet or not?
Yes.
Why? He was not given any commandments.
Yeah, but looking for the...
Because the only reason why, I mean, you, because this is something new, you can't accept it immediately. But when you ponder over it, ruminate, and ultimately digest things, you will understand these things, inshallah, because I know you are a sensible man and you are not somebody who is narrow-minded about things.
No.
Only things are very new to you.
I'm open-minded to understand
yes,
other
Muslims. That's very important.
Since I agree with the five fundamentals, principles
okay.
of Islam.
Yes. Now, I'm explaining this situation. You believe Hazrat Harun to be a prophet, and you believe in Hazrat Dawood to be a prophet, while no new commandment was given to Hazrat Dawood, you believe in Hazrat Sulaiman to be a prophet, while no new commandment was given to him. You believe in Hazrat Ishaq to be a prophet, while no new commandment was given to Hazrat Ishaq. The same is your belief about Hazrat Ismail. The same about Hazrat Yusuf, Yaqub and Yusuf. Am I right or am I wrong? So, this is a misconception. Prophets are not always lawbringers. There are very few prophets who brought books and laws. Yet Allah spoke to them and talked to them and loved them. But they drew their Sharia from the study of the book. This is they got their guidance from the study of the book which they followed, and that book was revealed to one very important high standing prophet. In case of Hazrat Nuh, it was Hazrat Nuh whose Sharia lasted till 950 years. According to the Holy Quran, the life attributed to Nuh is in fact the life of his Sharia. Hazrat Ibrahim's Sharia lasted until Hazrat Moses. And in between there were so many prophets. Hazrat Moses' Sharia lasted till the time that Christianity went astray and it was totally removed and Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa appeared. And his Sharia, according to us, would continue till the Day of Judgment. No other Sharia can ever come. So if anyone believes that a lawbringer can come, or anyone can come to reform the Shariat-e-Muhammadiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe he is false. Because he is last in this sense. He is the final lawbringer, and he is the final whose word would be followed, and nobody else's word would be preferred as against the word of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet within these conditions, to which you and I both agree, if a man appears with these two qualities, that he is appointed by Allah, and to believe in him is a must, and to deny him is kufr, such a man, according to the terminology of the Holy Quran and the religious experience of man as such, can be nothing but the Prophet. For instance, if you when you believe, you say, "Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa bil yawmil akhir." These are the five fundamentals. Now, of men on whom you must believe, in which you must believe, rusul. Apart from rusul, has anyone been mentioned in this? From among the men, it is either Allah, he is not a man, or angels, they are not men, book, it is not a man, Yawm-e Akhira, it is not a man, Rusul only are people from among us. And the only people described in the Holy Quran to believe in him, in whom is a must, are Rusul. Or is there anybody else?
No, you are right. But we are not left, you see.
But still, yeah. I'll come. Yeah. Let me first spend some time on this. Because a little wall is still remaining to be demolished. Once we begin to understand each other clearly and honestly, then I'll explain the meaning of Khatam al-Nabiyyin.
Yeah, that's my point.
And that is your point. I'm coming to it. And once I do that,
because we were clearly instructed.
Of course, I'll quote.
No, yes, prophet.
Yes, yes. No prophet is something addition by you, while you yourself believe in a prophet to come. This is my position. You are not yet convinced me to the other.
For ourselves, we were given a clear word, khatam.
Yes, I understand.
End.
Yes.
Finished.
Oh, okay.
Let us
but after just opening this subject, I'm coming to it. But then I'll take leave of you for tomorrow, or when you can come easily.
Yeah, possibly sometime.
The day after tomorrow, maybe.
The day after tomorrow.
Okay, agreed. Or 2 days, as you please.
Okay, we can agree on.
Yes, yes. Now tell me, what does Khatam mean according to the usage of the Arab?
Yeah, the end, the last one.
Is it? Yeah, are you positive? Khatam. Positive?
Yeah, khatam, the end,
and,
the last one.
End in time.
Yeah.
Now stick to this. I
yes,
warn you.
Yeah, khatam,
don't
yes,
go.
Yes, yeah, the end, the last.
The end in time.
It's the end. If I can give a
yes, okay, you stick to it.
When you stamp something.
Yes, yes, yes.
When we
I fully agree, but I warn you. I warn you,
do,
I'm going to give. I am going to give example after example,
yeah,
from the usage of the past Arabs, who knew much better the Arabic than the present day Sudanese or Egyptians or any other Arabs.
Yeah, sure.
I am going to quote them now, one after the other.
Can we agree on the translation of the stamping?
No, I can't.
When we write
no, no, I am just quoting.
The last thing we do, khatam.
No, please.
Stamp.
Excuse me. What I want to say is this.
Yeah.
That first of all, you make your translation, and I'll criticize. permit me to criticize.
Yes, sure.
Then I'll make a translation and I'll permit you to criticize. That is the fair way of doing things. So, after giving you due warning, you stick to one meaning, then I am going to begin to criticize. You say it is last, khatam by the Arabs. Khatam is meant to be the last in time, beyond which nothing can go.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, right.
Now, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known to have addressed Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. By these words, Ana Khatamul Anbiya'i wa Anta Ya Ali Khatamul Awliya. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now translate Khatamul Awliya.
Khatamul Awliya. According
to your own definition, yeah, please,
yeah.
Not according to mine.
Yeah. Sir, excuse me, sir. I know you're going now. Now I'm understanding that you mean Khatam means the best.
No, I'll explain that when my turn comes.
The best body.
When my turn comes, then I'll explain.
Yeah,
but let him first. Let him first.
Yeah, okay.
Stick to his own translation. He's an Arab, of course. He understands Arabic. Let him stick to his translation and explain.
First of all, and logically, it means that he's not a prophet. Ali is not a
prophet. No. It doesn't say that. It said Khatam al-Awliya.
Yeah.
The word Khatam is to be translated,
yeah,
according to your own rule laid down by you just a few seconds, minutes before. Please explain the meaning of Khatam al-Awliya.
Yeah, the last should be the last.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. So, why are you sitting in this Ummah where no Wali can appear either? A Ummah which is deprived of Rusul, prophets, which are the best of things. Itmam-e Ni'mat is prophethood. Beyond that, no reward can be conceived. And Walayat is a lower Inam than prophethood. So not only in the reward of Nabuwat is finished forever, also the reward of Walayat is finished forever. No Wali can ever come on earth. So why does the Holy Quran tell us, Allah inna waliya Allah, la khawfun alayhim, wa la hum yahzanun? Very strange.
So what's your translation?
I'll come to that. But I'll quote another example. I'm quoting Arab after Arab. If you read Al-Qanun, that is the book of Bu'al-Sina, on the title page, you will see these words written by the older Arabs. Khatam al-Atibba, Bu al-Sina. What does Khatam mean? The last, the stamp has been laid on it. So no Tabib will ever be born among the Muslims according to the Arabs. If you take up a collection of the poems of Mutanabbi, Al-Mutanabbi, you will find still written over the title page, Khatam al-Shu'ara Al-Mutanabbi. Of course, the meaning is that he is the last in time. And the whole thing is sealed and packed off, and never again will you see the face of a poet. Is that acceptable? If it is acceptable, then this Ummah is not acceptable, where nothing is good, where all the goodness is finished and left in the past. So please consider this for tonight, and tomorrow when you come or the day after, then I'll explain my meaning, and then I'll give you full opportunity to criticize, because I'll support my meanings with the usage of the Arab, with the stamps of all the past great men of Islam, great Sufis, great scholars like Ibn Arabi, like Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi, like Sheikh Abdul Qadir Kurdistani, great people like Maulana Rum. I'll quote example after example, supporting my meaning and contradicting your meaning.
So my main point, I mentioned this earlier, that the missing aspect is the message.
So when we that has already been solved. That has already been. That has already been solved. No, that has already been solved. You have forgotten, please. I quoted example after example of prophets who never came with a new message. And our belief too is this, that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib Qadiani was neither entitled to a new message because message was finished. This is our belief.
Yes,
nor he ever claimed to have brought a new message. The fact is, why he came then, what was the purpose? That is a different story altogether. We'll enter that as well, inshallah. And I'm looking forward you forward to seeing you so many times.
Inshallah.
Right?
Inshallah.